we're going to look at the gates of bronze or the gates of brass. Somebody said the gate of brass.
The gates of brass.
A brass is the highly lettered price for its strength. And brass are durable, but brass are not gold. Brass are inferior to gold or silver. And brass, though is known for its durability and strength, but you cannot equate it with gold. Brass gets rusted after a time, but gold don't. Gold don't fade away. Now we are going to look at the gate of brass or the gate of bronze. Give me Psalm 107, where I'm going to base my lesson upon. The book of Psalm 107, verse 15 and verse 16. I want someone to read from the King James. Naya, if you look at the Bibles, the scriptures, right? If you look at it, the other now. Okay, find me the one, apart from King James, maybe the BBB or whichever one. There's one of it that explain. Verse 15, this is ASV. Oh, that men will praise Jehovah for his loving kindness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And in verse 16, for he hath broken the gate of what? Brass. And cut the bars of iron in asunder. Now give it to me, King James. Give it to me, King James. Give me that same verse of the Bible, Psalm 107:15, and King James. He said, "Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And in verse 16 of King James, he said, "For he had broken the gates of what? Brass. And cut the bars of iron in asunder." Now, there was one that says that, He has broken the gate of bronze.
For he has broken all that men will give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Mm-hmm.
For he has broken the gates of bronze.
What version?
New King James Version.
New King James. Do you have NKJV? Do you have any, like, if you see, it's NKJV. Do you have it there?
It costs money.
No, we're not going to buy. That's okay. We're not going to buy it. She already read it. Now, the New King James calls it what? The gate of bronze. So when you see that word gate of bronze, it's the same thing as what? Gate of brass. Amen. Now, I said brass or bronze cannot be equated with gold or silver. Now, let me show you some of the uses of bronze in the Bible. Bronze is used for idols. Give me Daniel 5, verse 4. Daniel chapter 5. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of what? Brass. Of iron, of wood, and of stone. You see, men in Babylon, they worship idols. And the idols are made of brass, iron, wood, silver. I know the Chinese makes their so much with gold. And Egypt too are prone to using gold and brass in making idols, in making gods. Give me verse 23 of that same scripture. Let's look at Daniel 4, verse 23. It says, Belshazzar, whilst it... Oh, okay. Daniel 5, 23. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessel of his house before thee, and thou and thy lord, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the God of silver and of gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which one? See not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy bread is, and whose are all thy ways, has that not one glorified? You see, men rather prefer to worship the God made of brass, gold, and will not glorify the God that gives them breath. But they are ready to worship the God that has no breath in them, and the God that can't move, can't speak, can't even touch, don't even know your feelings. But we have a God. Somebody say, we have a God. That can be touched with my infirmity, that knows my uprising and my down sittings. I refuse to worship the God of brass. Amen. Also, give me the book of Revelation 9:20. Revelation 9:20. We're looking at the uses of bronze for idol, first of all. Now give me Revelation 9:20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by those plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and the idols of what? Gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor talk. Now, these are physical. Now, spiritually, rather, let me say it this way. People think, not until you bow down to a physical idol made out of gold, brass, or silver, then you sin against God. No. You see, those things that you esteem more than God in your heart. Now, the efficacy or the level of your estimation determine whether your idol was made of brass, gold, or silver. Amen. Now, if that thing you love so much, in such a way that it's everything, it takes your breath, it takes your life, listen, everything you ever dream of, everything you ever think of. Now, I will equate that as the God of gold. But you see, those things that cause you to become stagnant, those things that mentally derail you, I will call it the God of brass. Because brass are durable. I'm coming. Brass, I said what? They are what? Durable. And they are very strong. So they are movable. So, spiritually speaking, you see those conditions in your life that are very stubborn. I said they are very what? Stubborn. Whether it related to your health, to your wealth, to your being, but they are stagnant. Those are brass. Because brass are durable. Brass are strong. So when you have conditions in your life that are durable, strong, meaning they are movable, you pray from now to thy kingdom come, nothing is happening. Yet you are not dead. You pray from now to thy kingdom come, nothing is happening to your business. Yet you are not shut down. Stagnation. Every year people come, no growth. You come to the ministry. It's always two people. Year one, year two, year three, year four, year five, year six. Just two people. Just the same people. That's stagnation. That is the gate of brass. That is the spirit of the gate of brass. And this gate of brass needs to be shattered. And you have no power to shatter it. But there is one who can shatter the gate of brass. And that is what Psalm 107. Go back to Psalm 107. Go back to the book of Psalm 107, where we came from. In verse 15, it said, "Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And in verse 16, it says, Psalm 107, verse 16. "For he had broken the gate of brass and cut the bars of iron in asunder." Now, the only thing that will break the gate of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder is a praising the Lord. I said what? Is a praising the Lord. It's not in your strength. No. It's not because you know how to mechanize it. It's not because you know how to build it or you have the bulldozer to break it down. It's not because you have the saw or the axe knife to cut it asunder. No. It is because you praise the Lord. When you praise the Lord, then the gates of brass will be brought low. How do I know? When the children of Israel were to invade Jericho, God knew that the only thing that can bring down the gate of Jericho, the walls of Jericho, is in praising the Lord. And the Bible says when they began to praise the Lord, they didn't praise the Lord 7 days. But on the seventh day, they blew the trumpet loud. They praised the Lord. And while they praised the Lord, by itself, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. You see, that is how the gate of bronze, the gate of brass, will begin to shatter down in your life when you begin to praise the Lord. Now, there's a difference between praising the Lord and praying. I said last week, there's a difference between supplication. When we come, there's sometimes we do supplication. There's times we do thanksgiving. And there's times we also do warfare. If at the season of warfare you are doing supplication, excuse me, nothing is going to move. Then that condition becomes our bronze, our brass, that refuses to shatter. Now, there are spiritual prisons. Before I come to spiritual prisons, let me show you another use of brass. It's used for shackles. Somebody say shackles.
Shackles.
You know shackles that they use to tie slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Judges 9. Judges chapter 9. I mean, Judges 16, sorry. Judges 16, 21. Judges 16, in verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. You know what I'm talking about? Samson. And brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of what? Brass. And he did grind in the prison house. You see, brass is what is used to shackle people, to tie people, physically or spiritually. You see, in the spiritual realm, those of us that are warriors, those of us that are evangelists, those of us that are intercessors, those of us that are evangelists that does deliverance. There are times that when God will open my eyes, I see people, but what I see is their hands tied with fetters of iron. And their feet tied, but yet they walk physically like every normal human being. And when God showed it to me, I know some will begin to go, why is she praying that let every chains, let every fetters be shattered? Because that's just what I see. And that is stagnation. Which means you will go to and fro. You'll be just going round a circle, and nothing will happen. You will come this year, you are still the same. Next year, you are still the same. The other year, you are the same. Every year, you are the same. Nothing is moving. That's because you've been tied with a chain. Now, if it's ordinary rope, the rope will tie. But in this case, when you tie somebody up with a brass, even your teeth can break it. Axe saw can cut it asunder. But I know who can. His name is Jesus. How do I know? When Peter were thrown into the prison and they were tied up with fetters of iron. When Paul and Silas were in prison, hallelujah, and they were tied up. But when they began to call upon the name of Jesus, when they began to call upon Yahweh, the Bible says the chains were broken. The gates were open. The earth quaked. In the life of this man that I mentioned, these things happened because they began to praise the Lord. So, and that is why the psalmist tells you, oh, that men will praise the Lord. What is that situation in your life that you've prayed, nothing is happening. You fasted, nothing is happening. Why don't you just begin to praise the Lord? Are you in the kitchen? Praise the Lord. Are you in the bathroom? Praise the Lord. You know what? My family, they laugh at me. They say, well, I'm in the bathroom, the way I sing sometimes, I sing like old school. You know, they all laugh at me. They said the way I would drag the song. You know, there's a tribe in my place. They call the, what they call them, like Igbo, Okoro. You know, they say I would sing like Okoro people. Hallelujah. You know, let me give an example. Okay. Let me give you, yeah, I know you're waiting for me to sing like Okoro. Okay. Is that okay? Okay, let me give an example. Okay. You see, if I'm singing, for instance, maybe I want to sing to God. Be the glory for it all, Lord, I bring to you the honor due, and at your feet I fall. You see? Listen. I am powerless without your spirit, Lord, without your call. But I would say, Lord, without your call. Oh, to God be the glory. You see, I will sing it because that's what I feel. And they will say, I'm singing like Okoro people. Amen. You know, because to me, I want to sing it so melodiously. You know, the way I feel, the way it's touching me. Exactly, right? But they will say, I sing like Okoro. Listen, whether you want to sing like Okoro people, you sing like Okoro people, because that's all you need at that point in time. That is God speaking to you with that song, because you don't know why that song is coming up in your heart. That song could come as a means for you to walk in that day, to prepare you for what is ahead of you. When I begin to, I've told you all, when I begin to sing some certain song, I didn't know that day is going to be trouble. And there's a song that I will sing, I knew, okay, today is going to be a blessing. Did I wake up with a song? Oh, yes, every day. Through my song, I know how that day is going to be. I know, because when I begin to sing songs like, you know, songs that meaning, the songs like there's going to be deliverance, or especially if I begin to sing a song, I knew there's war. Ke-ke. Keke Elija, Bogun Bade Kogbe Mifo. Meaning that the chariot of Elijah. Mm-hmm. When war comes, take me over. I knew that week is trouble. Mm-hmm. That week, trouble is coming. And when I begin to sing, even when I'm sleeping, it's still singing in my spirit. Meaning that something is going to happen, but God is already telling me, I will take you over. I will give you feet like a hind feet to leap over your mountain. And indeed, it's not always sweet. So since I know this one is coming, I said, God, I reject it. No matter how I reject it, they're only telling me what is going to happen. Yes, I'm rejecting it because I know it's going to happen. But Lord, I said, God, please. Oh, I woke up, I begin to sing, songs like, Emi Ajo, you know, those are my native song. Meaning I will dance because the angels in heaven are dancing. Yeah. Oh, when I begin to sing such songs, you know, I knew it's going to be flamboyant. Yeah. Now, let me go back to my lesson. Something led me to that. In other words, you praise the Lord. That's all I'm saying. When you praise God, then every chains will be broken. And that's after you've prayed. And when you've done all you can do, when in praying, pray true, stand still. For He still God. And how do you stand still? You don't stand still just mopping. You don't stand still like a stick, but you stand still praising the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there are spiritual prisons that keep people locked up spiritually. And like I said, only God can break down the prison gates and cut asunder the iron bars. Only God. The enemy uses gates of bronze to hinder people from moving forward. Stagnation. Somebody say stagnation.
Stagnation.
Now, they are gates. Stagnation are gates that hinder people's progress. Tell me I'm lying. Stagnation are gates that hinder people's progress. They are gates used to tie down or catch people at a particular level, meaning that you're already in level 4, you can never exceed level 4. I reject it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said, I reject it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This gate of brass are gate of stagnation erected around a person's life, around a person's spirituality life, around the ministry, around business, career, education. Haven't you seen somebody in school? Come 20 years, they are still in school. Then you ask yourself, my God, even if you are studying Cambridge, I should have graduated, because I know the highest course is
doctor, and doctor, if you're trying to become a surgeon,
I mean, it's almost, I know it's more than 1.5 decades to become a surgeon. So what are you reading? They don't even know what they want in life. Today they are here. They couldn't finish to complete. The next moment you call it, oh no, I changed course. They are here. And then they will continue to change course until they have gray hair like Methuselah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will grow old. In fact, their grandchildren would have finished high school, finish college, they are still in school. Because they don't know what they want.
Stagnation.
You see, somebody sent me text, and I made sure I replied it back in their own coin. Oh, yes. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. When somebody comes to your business outfit, oh, they are calling, they don't even know if you are dead. Or just because you are calling, you want to eat. You don't even know the person is in the hospital. You don't even know what is going. Just because you are calling and the person is not picking up their phone, they are praying. Oh, then you drove yourself to the restaurant and then nobody, and then the next thing is you have the audacity to begin to send texts and begin to insult. Oh, you know, I will not let you go, friend. No. And I read back, I said, I'm sure you are those type that feel, because somebody owns a restaurant, she should be talked to anyhow, but not me.
Mm-hmm. And then this person wrote,
when I meet those here, you know, you should have been on your website, or you know, what time? And I replied, I said, but this information you need already on my website.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I said, probably you didn't check before accusing us. Oh, what do you mean? And that's it. Oh, you know, that's why people will, stagnation. I forgot what you wrote. He said, you know, if that is your wish. I said, you failed it some 2,000 years ago. I said, you failed it 2,000. If you did, send me text again. I showed you.
I said, if you just send me text again,
I'm going to report you that you are threatening me. Try me. I said, dare you. No, I'm just showing you, you know, how sometimes people, out of the words of their mouth, right, will tie you down. And if you don't quickly know how to return back to sender, and you think it's okay, you know, customers are always right. No, customers are not always right. Some customers are demons. They are devils sent around you. So it is also in the house of God. Oh, it's okay. You know, they are the children of God. Oh, they are the children of God. They are the children of God until they make everybody begin to feel sick. Until they bring cancer in the whole church. Until evil begin to happen in the whole church. Tell me that I'm lying. Why should the house of God become an entrance for a brat? It is expected that when there is sickness out there, there should be healing in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
When there is poverty out there, there should be riches in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord should not become an avenue for the gate of grass to begin to exhibit itself. I mean, begin to exhibit itself. And you know, these are things that are happening around the churches around the world. Now, this gate that I'm talking about can be spiritual, mental, emotional, social or financial limitations. Now, let me come mental. When this gate of grass mentally arrests an individual, the person will be useless. Mentally, you can't function if your mentality, if your intellect is not high. Tell me, how would you function? Everybody will be saying A, but you alone will be saying D. Not even B, D, D, D. And D is death. But everybody say, hey, hey, appraiser, appraiser. You alone are saying D, D, dead, dead, down. Mentally derailed. Mentally depraved. Emotional. You don't want this gate of brass to affect you emotionally. Because emotionally, then the other they make you to become bipolar or they make you to become schizo. You see, you don't even know. Right now you are happy, the next moment you are sad. And it kept happening year in, year out. You don't even understand why this is happening to you. But within you, you want to move forward. That's because something has invaded your heart. The gate of brass. Every prison door that has locked you out of your destiny, your calling, your inheritance, and your potential is hereby broken in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I decree that every gate of stagnation keeping you from moving from one level of glory to a higher level of God's glory is hereby broken in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, God said something to Isaiah. Give me Isaiah 45. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 3. God said something to Isaiah. Give me Isaiah 45, verse 1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the lions of kings to open before him the two living gates. And the gates shall not be what? Shut. And in verse 2, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gate of what? Brass. And cut in asunder the bars of iron. And in verse 3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Do you know what the Lord just reminded me? Do you know this was a prophecy my father and the Lord gave? I just remembered. That was a prophecy he gave to me here when he was preaching. He said the Lord told him, I should go to Isaiah 45. You know, when I read it, I think I've seen this before. He said, the Lord said, he will give all to me the treasures of darkness. He said, they're right here on the pulpit. But God said, I will. Therefore, I said, every spirit, every gate of stagnation, keeping you from moving from one level of glory to a higher level of God's glory, I decree it broken today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The God that promised Isaiah is still the same God today and will be the same God forever. He changed not. Amen. Therefore, everything in your life that refused to move, I command it to move for your favor in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And everything that will not glorify God, that is not refusing to move, I command it to move in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, whatever represents a prison door in your life or gate of Jericho that is keeping you away from your inheritance, this is the time for us to, you know, rise up. We use our weapon and the Holy Spirit inspires you to use it and you will find gates breaking in pieces. This is the season. I don't know why. Listen, lessons don't come for naught. They come, you know, in sequence. God will restore. God is restoring. Now, why God is restoring? Look at some of the hindrances. Gates are telling us, no, you can't move to your next level. But God is saying, no, I want you to move to your next level. Therefore, I'm going to give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. God said, I'm going to cut asunder every gate of iron, every fetters, every shackles used in holding you back. Because when you hold someone back, you tie them in shackles of brass, they don't move forward. They don't go nowhere. And even if they move slowly. A man whose feet has been tied with iron, how do you want him to move fast? Of course he's not going to move fast. If he tried to go fast, then he's going to, you know, have his leg hurt by the reasons of the chain. So he has no option than to what? Go slowly. Now, think about it, brethren. When our forefathers were tied with chains, with brass over their neck and over their feet and their hand, just think about it. Now, bring that home spiritually, and begin to imagine a child of God spiritually bound. How do you expect that child of God to move forward? How do you expect the ministry to move forward if the ministry is bound with a gate of brass? If our soul is tied with a gate of brass, how do we move forward? Now, if you go back into your ancestral roots, if you will go back to your root, you know, like Gideon did. Gideon of old, in the book of Judges, he did. And when Gideon realized what the gate of brass was for his season, for his time, guess what? He destroyed all the demonic altars of the past. He knew, if I don't destroy it, then we will not be free. I tell you all, saints of God, I said, listen, you should be the one that should stand in the gap and say, from me, nobody's going to suffer anymore in this family. From me, you see, Gideon did it. Gideon went and destroyed all the altars erected by his ancestral fathers. Of course he did. You know where I'm quoting, right? Give me Judges chapter 6. Let's look at verse 25 to verse 32. Judges chapter 6. Because I want you to understand that altars are physical symbol of invisible gates. Altars. That same word, altars. Where we worship God. You see, this is an altar. But it's a spiritual altar where we worship the God Almighty. That does not mean God physically is here. But you see, we sanctify and set aside this altar as demanded by God as a place to preach the word of God. And that's why if you are not clean, or you know, you have what iniquity in your heart, and you come and stand on the altar, you make things worse for you in life. So that's why it's difficult. As the altar is a blessing, it is also what? A curse. So we'll be careful how we come before the altar and make pronunciation and preach. I tell you all, when you stand before the altar, let the Holy Spirit speak. When you stand at the altar, let the Holy Spirit lead. You debase, let the Holy Spirit increase. So that when you come out of the altar, you have blessing. But if you come already premeditated, plan upon the altar of God, you finish. Let's be careful. Tell your neighbor, be careful.
Be careful.
God told Gideon that his father's, I'm coming to Judges. God told Gideon that his father's altar will limit and hinder him in the fulfillment of his ministry. Therefore, he was commanded to pull down the altars of Baal and cut down the sacred groves around it, and in its place raise another altar to God, the God of Israel. Now let's look at Judges 6:25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had, and call down the grove that is by it. Now give me verse 26. Now I'm going down to 32. Give me verse 26. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou hast cut down. 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servant and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by what? By night. And in verse 28, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And 29, I'm going down to 32, so give me 29. And they said one to another, who has done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing. And verse 30. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he had cast down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the grove that was by it. And in verse 31. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar. And in verse 32. Therefore, on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has thrown down his altar. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it's true. You want Gideon to die? Because God gave him instruction. Bring down that altar of brass and build me a wood altar. Let my name, give me sacrifice upon that altar. And then you woke up in the morning and the whole thing is gone. The next thing is you want to fight for your God. Oh, no, no, no. I love what Joah said. No, if Baal is God, let him fight for himself. Let him fight for himself. Let him fight for himself. Why do you want to fight for the God? Hallelujah. Yeah. Gideon was afraid to do it in the day. Therefore, we saw it. He said what? He did it in the night. Thus, he destroyed the altars and those covenants that pose a limitation in his life. You see, if you don't stand up and do what is right, if you don't stand up and be a warrior, then which means the rest of your destiny is going to be misery, which I reject in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's why I'm encouraging you all, I gear you up, I ginger you up, you know, rise to be a warrior. Warrior, don't give up. Warrior, don't slack. A warrior will be in the kingdom of God. Oh no. No Nelly Sheffield will be in the kingdom of God. I can assure you. No sluggish individual will be in the kingdom of God. Because you can't be sluggish and walk with Jesus. Jesus is never sluggish. Jesus is a warrior. So tell me, when your brain, your mentality, your thoughts, your ways are so sluggish, you know, you drag your feet, you drag. You think Jesus will want you to come and drag him back and put you in the kingdom? No, he said iniquity will never rise up the second time. Therefore, in the kingdom, there are going to be men and women that are vibrant. You see, what you are not now, do not think you are going to be that in the kingdom. You see, who you are right now, tell us who you are going to be in the kingdom. If you don't know, let me amaze you. What you are now will tell what you are going to be in the kingdom. How do I know? As a man thinketh what? So is he. So if you are thinking that you are going to be sluggish, you are going to be a millipede, Jesus Christ is not going to put a millipede in the kingdom. No, he wants men whose senses are what? Exercise. rightly divided the word of truth. Why didn't God give you three good things? Three good things. When our image was made. And when this image was made, God made sure he didn't touch it. But he gave it to us. He created us with it, with this image. And what are this image? Sensibility, intellect, and will, which theologians some call choice. These are the three images of God. Please do not listen to all this Roman Catholic preacher that says that the image of God means that God is like man. Hope wash. That's what I call gosh. That whereas the Bible tells me that God is a spirit. You can't see a spirit. You can feel it. And they that must worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. But he sent his only begotten son, who is an angel, took on the flesh and dwelt amongst us. And the son always refers us back to the father, showing you that there are two entities, two beings, not trinity, excuse me. That God left his throne and came through the Virgin Mary. You think the devil that wants to overthrow God since the world began. So you think when God left his throne, don't you think that he will make sure God don't resurrect? He will make sure he overthrow him? Think. Trinity. I don't want to, that's not my lesson. But what I'm trying to point out is the fact that this image is in our intellect, sensibility, and our will. So tell me, if your intellect, sensibility, and will is not right, what makes you feel you're going to be in the kingdom? Do you think the intellect is given to people that are dull? But our Paul says they are dull of hearing. How can a man who is dull of hearing be smart in the kingdom of God? Listen, you are going to be a security risk. I kept saying it. Security risk in the coming kingdom of God. And God don't want, because you are going to be a security risk, now begin to tell the rest of angels, including me, hey, you are be on guard. God don't want us to carry AK-47 while we be in the kingdom. The kingdom of God will be free of AK-47. The kingdom of God will be free of demons. The kingdom of God will be free of Lucifer. So now think about it. Where did you see dullness or sluggishness? Or having your way? Like I said on Sunday, oh, my will, oh God, not your will. How do you think that is going to work in the coming kingdom? You have to be men that have what? Crucified the flesh. You have to be men and women that are ready to carry the cross and follow the Lord. You see, Gideon knew what he needs to do. Gideon, yes, afraid, but you see, still did what he had to do. He may not do it in the day, but he did it in the night anyway. The job was done. And you know what it is to destroy the altar of a whole nation? Do you know what it is? That is sacrilege. That is a very big sacrilege that is worthy of death. But because the God who sent you, he will fight for you. Are people troubling you? No. Because he asked you, he is going to fight for you. Because he sent you, he is going to fight for you. But if you just get up and go, he didn't send you. So whatever you see, my people will say, go take your head, carry him. Meaning that you will be it. No, it's good I teach them how to speak Pidgin English. You go take your head, carry him. Amen. I mean, thus, Gideon destroyed the altars and those covenants that pose a limitation in his life. If you don't rise up to destroy them, then it will destroy an individual. See why we need to take the bull by the horn? You see why we need to take the strength of the bull to kill the bull? Listen, the bull said it's strengthened. The bull is chasing, you know the bull. The bull can run everywhere. Guess what? Use some of the strength. Make sure you use the strength of the bull to keep back the bull. You know how you do it? Take him, run up to the mountain. The bull is going to chase you. Keep running around the mountain. Keep running around the mountain. Before you know it, the bull gets tired. Before you realize that the bull, when it's tired, then you can destroy the bull. But not until you wear the bull out. You can't destroy the bull. And for you to wear the bull out, you too have to be strengthened. You have to ask God for strength. Because you need strength, right? To take the bull round. Then you can destroy the bull. So use the strength of the bull to destroy the bull. So in other words, for you to destroy the altar, for you to destroy this brass, then you have to be durable also. Then you have to be stable. Now, tell me, when you are not stable, how then do you want to destroy something that is durable? When you are not stable, spiritually you are not, physically you are not, emotionally you are not, mentally you are not, then how do you then want to destroy the gate of brass? How do you want to tell the walls of Jericho in your life to shut up and they will listen to you? When we ourselves are not durable, today we please the Lord, tomorrow we are of the devil. Today we act right, we're angels, we repent. Next tomorrow, we are the devil. No. Father, I'm praying to God. Father, please take away stagnation. I don't want to be stagnant spiritually. I don't want to be stagnant physically. I don't want to be stagnant in my health. Amen. Let it be that every time I go to the doctor, it's going to be good report. Not bad report. Or, you know, your case is still the same. If that language hurts, you know, the case is still the same. You know, oh, the case is still the same. No, my case is not the same. My case is different. Because I'm blood-bought, blood-washed, therefore my case is different. And the reason why my case is different is because the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. That is why my case is different. Yes, my case is different. My case is different because he said that he will not put any of the diseases of Egypt upon me. Amen. Yes, my case is different because he said I am not an Egyptian. So what is my problem? My case is different. Amen. And because he said my case is different, and that's why he said his blessings will make rich in my life and add no sorrow. Because my case is different.
Amen.
Yeah, I said because my case is different, he said I shall be above only. I will not be beneath because what? My case is different. Now, because he said my case is different, he said he's even going to make the very beast of the field my enemies to be my friends. You know what? Because my case is different.
Amen.
Now, he told me just this Sunday, he said because my case is different, guess what the Lord said? The Lord said to me that my enemy will come against me one way, but in seven different ways they will fall because my case is different.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if your case is different, but my case is different.
My case is different.
Gideon knew that this gate has satanic chains keeping him back. And as he struggled to go forward, this chain kept pulling him back. You see, as we struggle, these chains kept pulling us back. Like I said, a man chain, you cannot move forward. A man chain, how fast can you move? It drags you backward. Therefore, I decree that every covenant dragging you back must be broken today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every ancestral chain, every remote chain that is preventing you from moving forward, I command that they be cut into pieces with the sword of the Spirit in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, after this operation that Gideon did, the power of God came upon Gideon. Just as some of you would take the bull by the horn today and say, you know what, I'm going to stand and break this ancestral chain. This gate of brass that have eluded me, that have chased me, have made me stagnant all these years, I'm going to break it. I refuse to remain stagnant. In my ministry, Father, in the name of Jesus, Tabernacle of Divine Glory will not be stagnant in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As the Tabernacle of Glory will not be stagnant in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God is going to be adding, whether Amen. The devil likes it or not. God will be adding.
Amen.
It may be slow, but it will be steady.
Amen.
Steadily, God will be adding. In the name of Jesus, God will be adding. I decree addition. I decree numerical growth. I decree spiritual growth. I will not be stagnant spiritually in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Nobody in Tabernacle of Divine Glory will be stagnant financially in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
When God's power entered into Peter, every chains broke asunder. Whatever the enemy is using to lock you up and cover your glory, I said they are hereby terminated, sentenced in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I decree today that you must rise up in faith against the enemy and break down the prison doors out of your life and out of your family.
Amen.
And out of our ministry. Now, whatever represents a prison door in your life must go. Somebody say must go.
Must go.
Say pack and go.
Pack and go.
I said pack and go.
Pack and go.
Do not accept them. Do not tolerate them. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Give me Revelation 3, verse 7 and 8. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, this thing saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the key of David, he that opened it, and no man shut, and shut it, and no man opened it. Verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Somebody say an open door.
An open door.
And no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept thy my word, and hast no word denied my name. Now what happens? What happens? Tell us what happens. Give me verse 9. Let me see what verse 9 says. 3 verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, we say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have what? Loved thee. You see, because my case is different. God is saying he's going to make them that are the synagogue of Satan. In other words, the enemies of the Lord, he will cause them to come and worship at my feet. Because my case is different. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what God does. Because my case is different. Oh, yes. I said, because my case is what? Is different. He said, do not accept or do not tolerate them. Break every bars. Break every fetter. Break every chain. Cut them asunder. Tell it that it will not hold in my life. Not anymore. I want to move forward. A man chained. He said, Samson couldn't go nowhere because he was chained. Mm-hmm. Samson could not even see a lion and kill a lion. How can you kill a lion when you are chained? Mm-hmm. How do you want to defeat your enemy when you are chained? How do you want to pray a prayer of breakthrough when you are chained? Do you know you can also be chained in your tongue? I kept shouting, open your mouth wide and fill it up. My people will still come to church. I don't know what chain. I don't know what prayer to pray. I don't really God know what kind of brass that is holding your mouth. I don't know. I don't know. I know it's not good. Never. Because if it's good, you're going to make it shine. If it's good, you're going to talk. And if you have good chain, hi. Even when I'm not smiling, you're smiling. And you say, I can see a golden thing. Don't you watch them with the golden thing? Now I ask myself, what did I just say? I never said anything that would, you know, that promulgate you smiling. Oh, first lady. First, and I said, what I'm even saying is full serious. But because they want me to notice the gold in their teeth. Now, bring it home. Spiritually now. If you have gold in your mouth, you open it wide because you want everybody to notice. That's what, so I ain't lie about that. And the guys, oh, especially you see those ones in the front, and their teeth is kind of like longer. Oh, that really irritates me. No, watch them. Hey. Can I have some scripts? Even the team don't let them pronounce scripts. Scripts.
You've been in America too long.
I have been in America for too long to see everything that happened around me. Girl, I'm going to bust your mouth.
I'm going to bust your mouth. And okay, you're going to bust my mouth, but I don't need to see your teeth. I'm going to bust. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if that is happening in the physical, now, why don't you lose your mouth? God says, open your mouth wide and what? I will fill it up. Someone is leading prayer. Let us pray. That's why I said, I know it's not. I know it's not the chain of gold. You open it. I know if it's silver, you want it to shine. It must be brass. But I don't think it's even brass. Because even brass, we still try to puff up. What kind of chain is holding your mouth? Break it asunder. When prayers, points are being given, pray. You want to listen? Listen. You say, I came out here, I'm praying. Whether you want, you can as well listen to my prayer. You can't do nothing with my prayer. Because I'm praying, I'm also commanding, Father, let every king of Persia be cut asunder. But you see, you are here to pray. I'm here to pray. So I'm not listening to your prayer. Because I have a need. I'm the one in need of an answer. Not you. So why should I be bothered about what you are doing? Pray. No, some will not pray. Some will be there looking at the headgear. Looking at what kind of shoe did she wear today. Oh, okay. She has a new wristwatch. Wow. I mean, prayer is going on. These are things that happen in churches. And then, they will say, it is. But meanwhile, some people are partly but she came. Look at the enemy is here. prayer time. Please, I don't want that in my ministry in Jesus' name. We don't want that in Tabernacle. God, please don't let it happen. We don't pray to have such people. When you have them, then you know that we are in trouble. Then we know that the gate of brass has invaded us. Then that's when we need to pray to cut it asunder. Because guess what? When such spirits comes into church, we don't grow. I am telling you, the church will not what? Grow. I don't want people come, they will go. No. No, we want people to come into Tabernacle of Divine Glory, they stay. Let me that maybe they're at work, you know, you don't see them. Okay, they are working, right? Or something. But not because they came, right? And after, they just leave and never come back. May that never be our portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because God says, because our case is different, we are going to grow from vintage to vintage. That means before what we said is getting over. No, it's not going to be over. More will be added. So we will never be dry. There's no dry season. There will never be dry season in your life, in this ministry, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Therefore, let's rise up. Let's break this brass, this gate of brass.